Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with our Thursday night recap of the Big Brother 16 eviction. Tonight we're going to speak with Kayser Rita and Ian Terry live on One Fantastic Show. But first, before we get to that, I want to tell you about our sponsor for this episode of Rob as a Podcast, and those are our friends over at DraftKings.com. And DraftKings want you to know that fantasy football is right around the corner, and in all seriousness, I'm very excited about the fantasy football. I'm a big fantasy football fan, and this season, you could get your hands on a piece of $5 million during kickoff week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. If you're like me, you have been scouting players and doing research all season long, you could use that knowledge to win instant cash the first week of the season at DraftKings.com. People have turned as little as $11 into $4,000 in a weekend. Somebody else won $1 million in one day playing fantasy football. Fantasy football is exciting, but it's way more exciting at DraftKings.com, where you can win huge cash starting the first week of the season. So don't miss out on all the week one excitement. Reserve your spot now. So bounce over to DraftKings.com, enter promo code ROB, and you'll get free entry into week one's $5 million kickoff bash at DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter Rob for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. And don't miss our live Rob as a Podcast fantasy football draft this upcoming Tuesday, the 26th, sponsored by DraftKings.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who says, forget the ALS ice bucket challenge. Big Brother 16 is ready to dump some cold water on you. I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Thursday night recap of the live eviction. Zach goes home. Nicole comes back in. We've got a fantastic show for you guys here on a Thursday night to talk about everything that happened. First, here's a man you've heard a lot from this week. I'm sure that this is a little bit like, you know, you had like a loved one who wasn't doing well and they finally have moved on to a better place. And you're almost happy about it that they're not suffering anymore. Brian, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm here and I'm sedated, Rob. So that's pretty good.
All right. That's very good. All right. And now the guy, you know him from every Thursday, he's ecstatic tonight because his girl got back in the house and is not with that that romance killer Hayden. Here's Ian Terry.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me. It's exciting to meet you, K-Star, finally. And yeah, I'm pumped that those two are separated. Hopefully for a long time.
And now we have a very special guest here, a man who knows a thing or two about getting back into the Big Brother house after being out, a man who I haven't interviewed since I was on the Fishbowl. Here he is. It's King Kayser. What up, Kayser?
Hey, how's it going, Rob? Thanks for having me. It's kind of exciting to be able to converse with you after so many years.
Yes, it's been such a long time. What a reunion. And first off, I know everybody is very excited to hear from you tonight. A very special treat here on a big live show after an eviction. So great to hear from you.
Glad to be here.
Okay. All right. So let me just set the table here tonight for what we're going to do. We are live here on a Thursday night. We've got the chat room going on robhasawebsite.com. Plus, Scott St. Pierre is monitoring the RHAP Twitter hashtag and then also on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Real quick, 1 week from tonight, we will be live in Ontario, California at the Ontario Improv with Brendan and Rachel to watch the live eviction and then do a live Rob as a Podcast in front of the crowd at the Ontario Improv. For ticket information, go to robhasawebsite.com/Brenchel2. Just $10 to come on out and watch Big Brother next Thursday night with Brendan and Rachel and see a live episode of Rob as a Podcast. All right. First off, let's start here with this competition to get back into the house. I don't want to bury the lead, but boy, how close did we come to seeing Jocasta return to the game, Ian?
It looked like 2 inches or something.
honestly, I don't even know what happened. They were given that overhead shot, and the house guest was like, "Oh, Hayden, you got it. Zach, you got it. Nicole, you got John. No, Jocasta, it's you." And then finally, Julie said, "All right, Nicole, you go back into the house." It seemed like she didn't. Why did she win, Ian? Did she have more things, or her thing was closest to the bullseye?
So the rules were that if it was whoever had the most pucks on the rotating circle. And then if there was a tie, whoever had the closest puck to the center dot. So Nicole's puck was like about an inch or two closer to the center than Jocasta's.
Boy, and you know, for all the people that say these things are rigged for the person they want to go back into the house, I think tonight was exhibit A, B, C, all the way through Z, that they're not rigging these things, because we were this close to a Jocasta return, Kaser.
I know. I think we're all sweating bullets. That wasn't going to happen. Because I can't imagine they restocked your bow ties. So,
yeah. All right. So, Kaser, a lot of people have been talking about Big Brother 6 in regards to this season, because I saw a meme today of what the detonators think they are. And it was a picture of you and Howie and Janelle and you guys from Big Brother 6 and what they actually are. And it was a picture of the friendship, a.k.a. the nerd herd. So people have been channeling the people that you played Big Brother with 10 years or 10 seasons ago, at least, in this season. So what have your thoughts been on this Big Detonators Alliance?
It's interesting. You know, I think that from a personal perspective, I think people want to dislike them, but the gameplay that's being played by the detonators is not the same that's being played by the herd. I think there was no game being played by the herd. It was just one big hangout club. But I can see the difference. I also saw the same meme, or I can see the similarities, I should say. So I don't know. I mean, I can't compare, like, Derek, he's actually playing a good game. I can't hate on Derek for that reason. Frankie, I think he's just getting nasty. I think he has, you know, his eye on the prize. He sees the 500K, and he wants to save Africa. Like,
yes.
So, I mean, he's not gonna let anyone get in between him and Africa, all of Africa. I mean, I don't know how far 500K can go to help all of Africa, but
he's got a whole continent riding on him.
Yeah, I know. I think there's going to be a song dedicated to this.
Yeah.
I think we should just kind of brace ourselves for what's about to happen. here's the thing. More importantly, what's interesting about the house, and maybe, you know, Ian can chime in too, it's you really have no idea what the hell people think of you. And it's better to err on the side of caution and say, look, chances are nobody likes me. That's okay. Just kind of go in there and be true to yourself, not to be sappy or, you know, kind of say the same thing over and over. But that's the only thing you have going for yourself. It's just basically hope for the best.
All right, Casey. I'm really interested to know, okay, so you have been in the position that Nicole is in, coming back into the house and potentially, you know, having a second life in the game. So what does Nicole need to be doing? She knows that she can't trust these people. She mentioned that she wants to come after Christine, which I think is not the right strategy to be coming into the house, to be gunning for Christine, of all people. What do you think she can and should be doing now that she's back in the game?
Recalibrate is the best way I can put it. I mean, even for myself, I was last man out, first one to come back. And even then, because of the nature of the game and how we're so cooped up, it's easy to get rattled and sort of lose sight of your bearings. And so she's been out for, you know, a couple weeks now, and a lot's happened. So she's still operating on old information or false information. That's going to hurt her in the end. So, but what's good is at least she's had some time to think and rest and sort of look over things. You notice the way that people were treating Zach. He was like he was the Antichrist when he walked in, and nobody was hugging him, and they had already made up their mind. So in many ways, as much as I wanted Zach in the house for Fun Factor, it probably wouldn't have helped his game, nor would it, or his cause. And so it's sort of one of those situations where you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So Nicole needs to kind of just reevaluate her assumptions, I think, right now at this point.
Ian, you know, I'm really interested to know if you think that Nicole has a chance now to go the distance, because she comes back into the game, and I know you're pumped up. We all saw your tweet tonight on the show about, come on, Nicole, you got this. I'm sure she'll appreciate that when she watches this episode on DVR in a couple of weeks, especially. But now she's back in the game, and she doesn't have a big target on her back in the way, like when Kacer came back into the game, where everybody's going to be gunning for her. Do you think that she can go under the radar now and now get by a few weeks without being the target of everybody in the house?
No, because, I mean, don't you think that since Nicole's been at the jury house, the one person that's in charge, who is Derek, might think, hey, wait a second, she knows where the bodies are buried?
It's possible, but she said she wants to go after Christine. So well, I really wonder what she can do.
But if I'm Derek, I'm trying to send her right back out.
Kacer, what do you think? Can Christine get back under the, I'm sorry, can Nicole get back under the radar and at least if avoid eviction this week if she doesn't get HOH?
It's going to be tough. Here are the two conflicting and opposing weights, I think, that are taking place in this house. One, this is kind of a nice thing for Team Detonators because it gives them an opportunity to circle back up, calm the troops. They say, okay, great, now we have another person that we can then focus on this week. It gives us an extra week to get through. It's just another... you know, almost free body to bury, as Ian has suggested, and it gives them some time to sort of regroup. But now, if Nicole can create dissension, which I don't even know if she has it in her, she's too nice. She needs to do that immediately. What I think should happen is she needs to go straight to Donnie. Donnie has already sort of exercised and started hatching that plan. Of dissension and figure out a plan as to how to carry that out. But I don't think Nicole's going to be able to do that. She needs to act swiftly. And this HOH is going to really, really matter.
Yeah, the thing that shouldn't be overlooked also is that for the first time, we're going to go back to, as Ian calls it, classic Big Brother this week, where we're going to have one HOH. So there's a possibility here where if Donnie or Nicole is to win HOH, for the first time this season, we could see real power players go up on the block and not have to go through the charade of Battle of the Block and then you come off and I have to put somebody up. So, Ian, do you feel like this is the right moment for one of these two guys, Nicole or Donnie?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like Nicole's best shot at progressing deeply into this game is to pull off a win here tonight. I mean, if she wins it, I think there's going to be scattering on the end of the detonators, and probably in the form of throwing Christine under the bus. And then that's her chance is to get in there and hope that they just kind of scatter in different directions. Now, sending Christine out won't do it, so she needs a little help. Hopefully, you know, Christine gets a veto or something and she can send out one of the guys, but, you know, that's probably the better play for her, so at least what she should hope for.
But wouldn't the guys throwing Christine under the bus really play into her hand? Because then she could say to Christine, hey, look, these guys threw you under the bus. Come back with me and Donnie and let's go after the guys.
Well, that depends. Is Nicole smart enough to actually go for the guys? I'm saying if they throw Christine under the bus and she actually tries to get Christine evicted and does, then she's done herself no good. She'll just be next.
Kacer, do you see any way that a alliance of Nicole and Donnie could get the numbers back on their side? We have 8 people still in the house right now. They would have 2. Do you think that they would be able to pull anything else together and sort of split up this alliance, whether even if they sided with Derek and was trying to take out the Frankie side of the alliance?
Well, Rob, that's a great question. Anything's possible. I mean, of course, I did it my season when we had 10 stacked against 2. And I took a look at what we had on the table, and I made sure that I created a massive coup in the house. And so what needs to happen, and I'll sort of maybe shed some light to what I did and how it can be done this season, is you have to take a look at sort of the hierarchy of the house, and you have to be able to exploit its weaknesses. So take a look at who's king, who's running the show, who thinks they're running the show. So those are two very different things. Derek is running it. Caleb thinks he's running it. But Caleb is essentially the lapdog who just kind of carries out a lot of the requests of who really is running this show. If you could sever those ties, first and foremost, Caleb will actually run amok in the house. That will cause enough distraction where it will just create chaos, at which point then you could then hit your next move. Christine is a non-issue. She's just trying to basically skirt by. So is Cody. Mm-hmm. And who's left? Frankie. Frankie is basically going to snake by in any way he can. Hugs and kisses, and then knives and, you know, daggers. So it's just like, that's kind of like how it's going to happen with Frankie. Frankie just needs to, I think I would probably leave Frankie out of the loop. I would use Frankie as the delivery method. That's just going to accentuate the problem once you create one.
You know, I brought up Frankie as somebody to target, but last night on the show, Brian and I talked at length about this, about how I felt like Frankie made a bad move to get rid of Zach, because it really played into Derek's hands to get rid of Zach, the same way it played into Derek's hands for Christine to get rid of Nicole last week. Do you think that Frankie could potentially be somebody that Donnie and Nicole could use? And if they could sort of just illustrate the picture to Frankie about how Derek is really running things, do you think that they could potentially flip Frankie against Derek, Caleb, and Cody? What do you think, Kaser?
I think that's certainly a plausible idea. I think, so during my season, the most nervous wreck in the house was James Ryan. And I went straight for him. I went gunning for him. I said, that guy's going to be the first one to break. So, and he ultimately helped in the demise of the other side. What I would do is I think the biggest nervous wreck in the house this season is Frankie, and I would go straight for him. I would poison that well.
Ian, what do you think about that? As far as using Frankie against Derek, is that a possibility? But when Zach was going to get voted out, the Christine and Frankie pair were working with Nicole and Hayden. Do you think, is it possible for at least Nicole, Christine, Frankie, and then working with Donnie to come together?
See, the thing is, I think Christine is too wrapped up under Derek's. I think she's like entranced with Derek's spell. I mean, she has Donnie pretty much telling her the information like very clean, very cut and dry, but I still don't think that she'll listen. Period.
Okay. Let's talk about just a couple of things from the show. As former house guests, what was your take on the Victoria cutting up the hat of Zach? It was her hat, but she gave it to Zach. And then I saw some people on Twitter and on Reddit talking about whose property was the hat. Kaser, is that out of bounds, the whole hat gate?
I think that I'm not qualified to answer from a legal perspective by any means, but I can tell you it's probably stupid gameplay, considering that everybody's going into the jury house, and the only big move Victoria decides to make was cutting up a hat in the game.
She said it's the most satisfied she's been the entire summer was getting to make this move of cutting up Zach's hat or her hat.
I'm glad she showed up.
Her own hat. She got to cut up her. She came to the house. She cut up her own hat with a knife, and that's the most satisfied she's been through 10 weeks of Big Brother.
Right. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad she got. You know, Victoria is going to go down in history for her big moves.
Yes.
It absolutely does. It does nothing. I mean, she just basically. It just goes to. Solidify the fact that when it's time to play, she's nowhere to be found. But when it's solely based on emotion and it means nothing to anybody, as far as like gameplay or producing anything, she's right there.
Ian,
it's just useless noise, as far as I'm concerned.
Ian, what do you think of Zach's exit from the house? That I was watching it, and I almost feel like Zach has like Stockholm syndrome, that I don't understand why he's so cool with everybody in the house after what ended up happening to him.
I mean, I thought that was probably one of the best exits I've seen in any version of Big Brother ever, all time. I thought it was incredible. I thought it was extremely entertaining. I loved him standing on the table and throwing the Fruit Loops. I mean, that's the thing is with Zach, he says all these terrible things sometimes, but you know that it's all panto. So, I mean, you really got to love it.
Yeah, and he did a good interview with Julie Chen. I felt like Julie seemed to really be interested in what he had to say, and you can't say that that's the case every single week that she talks to one of these people. She did a good – it was a fun interview.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Okay, now, Julie Chen, speaking of Julie, she issued a challenge to all the former house guests of Big Brother to complete the ice bucket challenge. Have you guys started making arrangements? I believe by law, you have 24 hours or you have to write a check to ALS. Ian, have you started making arrangements?
Actually, I already have a video made. I just need to edit it and post it because I've been challenged by some non-Julie Chen people. So I guess now that Julie said so, I have to own it.
All right, Kaser, what about you?
Oh, man, I think I went to the bathroom during that part. Okay, so I didn't even know I was supposed to do that.
Yes, she challenged every single person. Ian, which Big Brother alumni are you most looking forward to seeing their ice bucket challenge video?
I'm going to go with Chicken Julie.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
I think if he wears a white t-shirt for it, America wins.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty good. That's going to be pretty good. Okay, is there anybody jumping out for you that you really want to see their ice bucket challenge video?
No. You know what? No one comes to mind just yet. I can tell you that in the time that you have not seen me, in the last 10 seasons, I've watched half a season.
Oh my God.
So, I don't know too much about, I think the, my knowledge of all the house guests is probably pretty bad. So I think you want me to name anyone from my season. Season 6.
So what was it about this season that brought you back in? Is that you are a big fan of Ariana Grande?
I just, you know, Ariana, if you're listening, you, your music captivates me. It's just, so I said to myself, you know what, if Ariana is going to be a part of this Big Brother season, then I need to come out of hiding, voice my love for the show and for her. I've been busy. I've been traveling the world. I've been cooking some stuff up, for business wise. And so I thought, you know what? All these other guys are having so much fun, mouthing off online and getting involved. I'd like to boost my, 85 tweets to maybe double. Let's get crazy.
So can you tell us what kind of stuff you have been working on?
I'm working on, from a technical side, I'm in Silicon Valley right now. I co-founded a startup that is focused on event discovery and validation. Now, what does that mean? It just means that we're kind of taking the surprise and the risk out of going to events. So no more scratching your head before saying, okay, What does this all mean? Is this going to be a safe event? It's going to be worth my time and money, so on and so forth. Kind of like what Yelp did for the restaurant space. Instead of you having to go and get food poisoning before you realize that it's a good or bad place, their algorithms and their technology and their rating system and validation helped shed some light on a lot of that stuff, which makes for a more pleasant experience. So that's what I'm working on. It's called Social Plex. And I'm really excited about it. Finally coming out of hiding and seeing what's going on in the world and ready to talk about what I'm doing.
Great. Well, very, very exciting to have you back in the Big Brother universe. And I always like to have a pleasant experience whenever I can. That's my goal in life.
I think that's a really good thing to shoot for, Rob.
Yeah, I try to avoid the unpleasant experiences wherever I can. Let's see. All right, Ian, let's talk about this montage a little bit with all the people in the jury house.
Let's not talk about it.
It seemed like, boy, they were really laying it on thick with Nicole and Hayden.
I mean, God, we're gonna grind, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Did that seem a little bachelor-y, the Hayden and Nicole on the hill overlooking the sunset, the on-camera kiss?
I noticed a little bit of soft lighting to really bring that to life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also noticed that. Let me put it this way, Rob. I've said it once, I've said it again. It must be really, really, really easy to woo an attractive girl at a luxury mansion with no competition around whatsoever and all the time in the world to wear her down. So hats off to him. That seems really difficult.
I have a question. Is this, Ian, are you really smitten by Nicole? Is this a real thing?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't really have any other options right now, so that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay. All right. Let's take some of your questions. I know you guys would probably have a million after tonight's eviction, plus the return of Nicole, plus the return of Kacer. So let's go ahead and start to get some of your questions into the show. And let's start out with Christine in Canada, who wants to say, what is Nicole's best strategy to reintegrate into the house, aside from the obvious align with Donnie and win HOH? Well, we heard Kacer's thoughts on it. Ian, do you want to outline real quick your three-point plan or however point plan for Nicole now that she's back?
Without winning a competition to give herself, like, leverage? I mean, is there really
machine guns.
What's that?
Machine guns.
Machine guns.
Yeah, right. No, I would say, I guess she would have to, like, just come back spitting lies from the jury house, just like giving completely false and inaccurate reports of what's being said there, saying things like, yeah, everyone in the jury house, you know, I mean, believable stuff. Don't say like everyone really respects Victoria's game. Like, don't say that. But, you know, say things like, I mean, if she wants to target like Cody or something like that, say something like, yeah, everyone really respects Cody and there's no way that anyone can beat him in the end, because then Derek might get his, might get the gears turning in his head, even though that might not be true. It would be like, oh shoot, do I really want to even like risk sitting next to this guy? So I think making up false information from the jury house and then putting that, just sowing those seeds in the house.
But Ian, why is that better than coming back and saying, you know what, that me and Jocasta and Hayden, we all been saying Derek is going to win. Derek is the person that's going to win the game. We're all voting for him. Why not put those seeds out there instead of making up fake seeds about how Cody is going to win the game?
Because I feel like if anyone is going to be able to have like active impetus to do anything, it would probably be Derek. So if you want him to make some kind of, he has the control. So if you try to say, yeah, Derek's going to win, get Derek out, Derek is just going to put the nicks on that right away. It'll get smoothed over, and then it'll do nothing. Her best bet is to go for one like that second tier, so like Cody, because then if Derek gets thinking about making the move, he can actually make it happen. You have to just get Derek later on in the game when his jugular is out here if he doesn't win competitions.
Okay, so do you agree with that? It's not best to go for the head of the snake, but to go for around like the shoulder to upper torso of the snake?
Well, you know, I went for the head of the snake. And the way I did that was by, you know, chopping off its appendages first. I don't think that's a good example because snakes don't have appendages, but get the idea, right?
They'd be very scary if they did.
So the thing is, comparing the detonators in this current state to the nerd herd, there was one unifying force, and everybody followed blindly. And so I think that's why people are so frustrated by the whole thing, is everybody just follows Derek for one reason or another. It's because there's power and there's fear. And the good people at the other side of it are getting screwed. And so that's essentially what's happening. So how do you go against that is, it's not the same situation because I had other factors that I could play with, which she doesn't have. Nicole, she doesn't have those factors. You have to create dissension, and you have to make it seem like that power is not as intact as you may think it is. That's why Christine is lockstep behind Derek. That's why Victoria, they all feel safe. They just want to get to the end. It's all because there's a sense of this power. You have to break it up.
All right. Hopefully we see that come a little bit and not just a straight shot. You just want Derek to work for his money a little bit, right?
I think he's playing a great game. Look, you can't knock him.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Michael Pierce, who says, do you think the jurors were able to see the opening part of the show when they were on stage? I'm not sure about this. Casey, do you have any insight into this of seeing the first, however many minutes of the show before you go back into the house?
So I never made it to jury, but I can say that they're very, very good at keeping things airtight. When I was in sequester, I didn't have access to television. I didn't have access to newspapers and magazines. They gave us DVDs and CDs, and that was it. We couldn't leave the house. So with that said, it's highly improbable that they got any extra information, not unless whatever handlers for the show that they currently have right now were sloppy. That is the only way it happened, and so that information could be pretty limited at best.
Okay. So let's go to this is from Bahavia Yanni, who says, do you think that an endurance competition would be best for the Nicole/Donnie team? All the boys won't last that long except for maybe Cody, and if Christine wins, she can be reasoned with. Thoughts? So do you think an endurance comp might be exactly what Nicole and Donnie need at this point? Ian?
Well, just to shoot this one down, they don't have enough time to build an endurance comp. Sorry.
You guys... no endurance comp. What do you think? We're going to see the typical bracket-based challenge like we saw a couple of weeks ago?
I mean, we saw a bracket already, but it wasn't like a skill-based bracket, but they didn't have time to practice. So actually, like, a very interesting question. I think it might be, gosh, what haven't we had yet? Perhaps it would be like that one where they had to count things in Big Brother 13, except played for HOH.
Okay. All right, so we'll see what happens. Brian, at what time do they typically will do the HOH here on a Thursday night following the either double eviction or a night like this?
Well, it's definitely not a typical event, but it could be late, or they could just wait until the morning. I don't know. Maybe Ian would know more. Okay, sir.
All right. If you want to follow the action on the live feeds, of course, you can get a free 2-day trial of the Big Brother live feeds at robhasawebsite.com/live feeds. It will be sure to be an eventful night as we crown a new HOH. And of course, Sunday night, we'll be back to talk about everything that happens with our guest, Shelley Moore, returns to Rob as a podcast on Sunday night. And just from following her on Twitter, I can tell you she's fired up about this season and not in a good way. She's very upset, does not like that they are casting famous people and social media moguls on Big Brother. Kayser, do you have any issue with that?
Yeah, I mean, I've said for a while now that I think the days in which sort of a pure casting for reality TV has been long gone. I mean, the days in which people aren't super fans and aren't sort of recycled TV personalities or online personalities is gone. And because of that, we don't really. I think we've lost the essence of watching real people, not try to emulate the ways of Dr. Will by telling them I hate you all or by not trying to get like their clothing line off the ground or just something, just that, the other thing. So it saddens me a little bit because, you know, I went on the TV show Big Brother without having watched a single episode. And quite frankly, I had no idea I was going to be on it. I never applied for the show. It just happened. So it was kind of an interesting experience. And I think any other, situation where it's staged and it's too contrived, you cheat the audience. You only end up ticking people off, and they have to do a lot more on the back end with production to make it a good show, which is not good for anybody.
Okay, so when somebody like Zach comes out tonight and then, you know, he gives his speech like, hey, everybody, you know, Julie, I'll be seeing you in a minute. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. I'm at Rancy Pants. Does that annoy you when people get up there and use the Big Brother platform to, you know, follow me on social media?
No, I don't care about that. I think it's funny. I think everybody's trying to get, I wish I would have done more of that to really boost the numbers. But
yeah, follow me on MySpace.
I know back then. Hey, 25,000 MySpace friends. Okay, what do you guys know about that?
that would have been great.
I don't think there's anything about that anymore. Actually,
you didn't know what to do with 20,000 MySpace friends, right? You could send a bulletin if you wanted. That was it.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's all in good fun. These things don't bother me. I think I'm speaking more to the preservation of bringing on and cultivating quality characters who you see people, you capture them in the moment on TV. That's what I think Big Brother is a big experiment. You're just watching people, watching things happen to them. You have to have interesting personalities, which are not contrived.
Okay. Let's keep going with questions from you guys. The great Keith Dixon wants to know, can you ever see a scenario where a person that returns to the game actually wins the game? All right, Kayser, what do you think? Is that possible? Could we ever see that? It almost happened in Big Brother Canada 2 seasons mm-hmm. ago. Do you think we could ever see it happen in the Big Brother US? Can somebody who comes back into the game win?
I think when a house guest goes back into the show, it's more for the audience and not so much for the house guest. I think it's a huge blow when you first go out and then come back in. It irks the house guest. They're still a target. It doesn't change the dynamic in the house. They're still not your friends. There's still an agenda to get you out. So I don't think that it helps. For me, I knew that I had my work cut out for me. I had just finished hatching a huge and carrying out a huge plan to get out, Eric during my season, and then I was out, and then people were still pissed. So They were scared. They were very frightened of me. That wasn't going to change. Now, say Zach came into the house just now. You saw the undertone. It was actually very evident that people did not want him there still. It's not like they accepted him with open arms or were happy to see him. So that wasn't going to change. I don't think Nicole can go very far. That's the reality of the world. This is going to be a volley for somebody else. Maybe this will change Donnie's game. Whoever was going to come in was going to affect whoever's game that was left in the house.
Yeah.
Ian, can Donnie win the game?
I think the person that benefits the most from this one actually is Donnie. Because Donnie, who, you know, it looked like this would be, barring him winning HOH, this would pretty much be the death knell. I mean, there's only one HOH. Unless he gets it, he's going to have a pretty bad time. Now, a new target has emerged. Gives him time to scramble. Could change something in a week.
Yeah. So do you think that Donnie could potentially go the distance?
I mean, I still think it's pretty far-fetched, but I'd say his stock has definitely risen.
I didn't think Donnie was going to make it this far, to be honest. I thought he was going to be out of breath and helpless week two. But this guy is a beast.
Is it crazy that I think Donnie is my favorite person left in the Big Brother house? Is that nuts? At the final eight?
I mean, I much prefer Nicole, but I mean, I don't think that the people of Joker's updates would disagree with you.
Yeah. Brian, can you believe that I think Donnie has become my favorite house guest?
I can't believe that. A lot of people were upset that Donnie voted Zach out, but Zach did tell him just to go ahead and throw that vote that way. So Donnie did have Zach's back in the end.
Yeah. Okay.
That means nothing. I can tell you firsthand that if you know the votes are going to go a certain way, it's better to vote with the house because it gives away less information.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think anybody's upset with Donnie tonight. Music fan 07058. Did Zach say anything to Nicole, or does she only know things from before her eviction? So I don't think Zach had much of a time to say anything to Nicole, right? Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if they kept them in isolation, which I'm pissed off, were you guys kept separate? Yeah, because you didn't see, or they didn't see you come out on the stage. So they probably kept them all separate. And I don't think they had much time to talk aside from what we saw on stage there.
Yeah, what could he have had time to say?
I'm sorry?
What could he have even had time to say?
Not much. So what was different about this season?
What good does it do him?
Yeah.
So typically you would keep these people in sequester and isolate from one another, but it looks like they were all together in the sequester house and the jury house, and so that's a little different. So that could shape things differently. But as far as Zach goes, I mean, maybe on their way to getting changed and coming back, there could have been a word changed, but I can't imagine how helpful it could have been.
A couple of quick things. Why did they need to get them into gym clothes to do the challenge that they were in? Was that just to psych them out? Since it was not a physical competition? I mean, why couldn't they have competed in the clothes they were wearing in shuffleboard, Kaser?
I don't know. I thought there was like a Rocky Balboa theme going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really get that.
The game was played in a giant boxing ring.
Why?
The same one.
Why?
I don't know. It was like a BB prize fight is what I understood. I mean, that was probably the most random game that I can even think of in like the past five seasons on that show. But I mean, that's Big Brother. It's dropping a ball in a hole and that's half the game.
The other thing I would have liked to have seen, I would have liked to have seen like we saw last year in the endurance competition they did where Judd got back into the game, the people walking out of the backyard after they were eliminated, I feel like that would have been really interesting to see whether it was on the show or on the live feeds. Like, who was the person, like, it was Hayden walking out of the game saying, you know, hey, you know, don't trust this person or, you know, or whoever. You know, you get that chance to come back into the game and for, you know, okay, I'm only going to be back here for 10 seconds before the finale, you know, does anybody blurt anything out in that spot? I feel like that would have been really interesting to see, as we saw last summer when Jesse comes back into the backyard, and on her way out, she's like giving Amanda the finger and, you know, at least giving us some interesting stuff on the way out. Do you think
Assorted F-bombs.
Yes. Ian, do you think we would have seen any of that? Do you think any of that might have taken place?
I mean, it's always a mystery with Zach, isn't it?
Yeah. Although you think that anything he would have had to say, he would have already said it.
Yeah,
okay,
that's a good point.
Let's take some more questions. William Rinaldi wants to say, who needs to strike first, Derek or Frankie? Does Frankie even know he needs to get Derek out? Kaser, what do you think about this? Do you think that Frankie even suspects that that he's probably higher up on Derek's hit list than he realizes?
He doesn't realize, from what I see. And again, I would keep Frankie in, because Frankie is a great way to rattle things up. He is very... He has a type of personality where he outputs more than he inputs, from what I can see. So, meaning you just gotta twist him up a little bit, and then you just let him go buck wild, and he'll really ruin things for himself in addition to whoever he's aligned himself with. So that's the way I would do it. Just you gotta plant a few seeds. It goes a long way with Frankie, and that's the way to do it. Derek, you have to play it very, very well. The guy is a cop. He's gone undercover. It's hard to rattle him. You need to give him more credit than everyone's given him. The guy is very methodical. He knows exactly how to play this game. He's been playing it outside the house for a very long time. So every time something happens, it is incredible how he can defuse the situation. I mean, he's deploying, like, I mean, that's our government funding right there. You know, watching him, he's bringing people in the room and saying, okay, let's just get this all out in the air. And he's directing traffic as to how, who's throwing who under the bus in front of everyone. And next thing you know, nobody's even looking at him. I mean, that is pretty incredible stuff. That's why I respect his gameplay. And you can't not respect that. So I would be very, very cautious when going after Derek. If you're not going to be able to take him out with one blow, make sure he's down completely. Don't hit him. Otherwise, you're going to pay the price.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably exactly right. Ian, I know you played up close and personal with Dan in Big Brother 14. Would you say that Derek is on the Dan Gheesling level?
I mean, he's on the radar, right? I mean, he's slowly creeping up there to kind of like get into that sort of point. But at the same on the same token, I mean, there's still like half of a game to be played. They have 8 people left, and they started with 16. And, you know, to be honest, it's just, to me, it's like, I think Mike Boogie said it best. If you take a run at someone like Dan, it has to be definite. And I feel like the same could be said about Derek as well.
Yeah. All right. Fair point. Still a lot of Big Brother left to be played. Let's see what happens at the end of the season. But right now, Derek just has wire to wire been the guy who's completely running the game. And I mean, that is the one thing. It's almost like, you know, going for some sort of a sports record. He's just on pace to, you know, be throwing the Big Brother perfect game right now. It's probably like the top of the sixth inning, and he's got the perfect game going, and we'll see if he'll be able to take it all the way home. All right, let's take some more questions. This is from Ronnie Minkoff, who says, does Kaser still keep in touch with anyone from his season or All-Stars? Kaser, I know you've been out of touch with going and doing any sort of Big Brother interviews. Do you still talk to anybody from your Big Brother days?
You know, I still consider, you know, Janelle, Howie, James, those are probably the three that come to mind as friends, and always ready to kind of, you know, pick up where we left off, I do occasionally speak to them. Howie has disappeared. I have no idea. So if I wouldn't be surprised if I saw his face on the side of a milk carton.
Oh, no. Ian, where's Howie? Have you heard from Hurricane Howie?
I've seen him. I mean, he was at Reality Rally, so that's not really that. That's not that long ago.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Good. Call off the APB.
Yeah.
Missing persons. Good.
That was a close call. Thanks, Ian.
Yeah.
Pretty easy tonight.
Yeah. Okay, let's take some more questions. Ashley's dream board wants to know, can Kaser compare the similarities and differences between Maggie and Derek in the way they've led their alliance? Do you see any similarities there? I've heard that comparison made as well this season. Do you think that Maggie and Derek have played similarly?
I can't. See, this is what I'm really unsure about. I can say for certain during my season, the group that Maggie was commanding was a very weak group. And so you could have just pretty much said and done anything, and they would have went along with it. I mean, they were making little shrines and having pillow fights and girl talk all day, every day. So you can't really compare the two. There are some real personalities and some real players, so you have to respect Derek's game. It's not comparable. You can't say that one is like the other. There are similarities, but it's a stretch to compare the two.
Is Maggie underrated as one of the Big Brother winners?
Who?
I guess not. I guess not. Ian, you're a Big Brother historian. What's your read on that? Is Maggie an underrated winner?
I mean, actually, I was going to say that they are quite similar. But I do think that K-Star does bring up a good point where, like, Let's be real here. Maggie was kind of leading along the merry band of idiots. Whereas I feel like Derek, at least they're definitely fish as far as Big Brother goes. But you know, they're at least somewhat competent.
Okay, so you would compare the rest of the Detonator/Bomb Squad, the Beast Mode Cowboys, or the Victorias even, Cody, and I guess to a lesser degree, Frankie and Christine, more favorably than the Aprils and the Yvettes of the world?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right, that's fair. All right, let's go to Anna Jose, who says, why would anyone want to flip with Donnie? None of them would be able to beat him in the end. I'd rather take my chances with Derek and then try to go to the end with Donnie. Is that a fair point, that everybody in the jury likes Donnie so much, Ian?
Well, so far, yes, that's true. I mean, I do think that Donnie has a great case to make if he does get to the end, because, I mean, how many times has his ass been on the line and he just, like, pulls the veto out? It's been, like, since week one. Where he pulls the ballot on the block out. I mean, this guy would have been gone a long time ago, many different times, and he's still there. So, I mean, to me, it's always just about, it's sort of like who has the hardest path to get there, and I'd say Donnie's had one tough route, and he's gotten there, and he's doing his thing, so it's hard not to give him the money.
Ian, yeah. I hope that you reconsider some of those things that you're saying about me. I'll take you to the end, and I'll give you a handful of color-coded candy if you give me your vote in the end, Ian.
I thought that was a great diary room, actually, where he talked about wanting to win HOH or something so he could draw colored candy. I really liked it.
Kaiser, do you buy that? Is Donnie too much of a threat for anybody to work with because he would win in the jury?
Oh, yeah. I think Donnie's narrative plays out well. For the viewership, because he's a class act. He's a nice guy. He's very straightforward. He wins comps. He's nice. He's got his his Donnie idioms. But it doesn't bode well for him in the house. Mm-hmm. That narrative does not work out, and that's unfortunate. Not unless something. But you know what? He's proven that the guy. He's got something upstairs. I mean, he's smart. Something about him, he's a thinker. So that there still might be hope. He might be cooking something up. But the odds are stacked against him. That's for sure.
Okay, so if your butt was on the line on the veto competition, who would you want to see less going up against you, Donnie or James Rhine? If you need to win a veto, who would you? Who's the person you don't want to see up against you on the other side?
Well, you know what? James is a fierce competitor. He's athletic. He wins. And he gets the job done. So I've gone up against him, and it's annoying as hell to see that guy win so much. But I don't know, because I would have never imagined in a million years with Donnie's physique and his look and I'm very surprised that Donnie's been able to pull out so many wins. I couldn't have seen it coming. So to be honest, I think I would be screwed either way. I'd have one hell of a time.
He's clutch. He's clutch.
Very clutch.
I'm going to take one more question, and then I'm going to hit the taboo buzzer and talk a little bit about things that have been going on the live feeds since we've been on the air here tonight. So let's take this question from Michelle Smith, who wants to say, I have the biggest crush on Ian Terry. That's not a question, just a statement. How about that, Ian Terry?
I don't know. I'm just going to have to go ahead and look her up really quickly.
All right. Hopefully this is not a catfish. Yeah.
After the money.
It's very possible.
Yeah. Kayser, did you think they that are. Nicole got the Ian Terry bump from his support of her on Twitter tonight that pushed her over the edge?
It's a possibility. I'm waiting. I'm just waiting for my Ian Terry bump to come through.
Oh. Ian, did it. You guys. Brian, all right, so let me hit the buzzer. All right. All right, Brian, I'm sure it's been an eventful hour or so since Nicole's been back in the house. Do you have any news on what's the latest at this hour as far as Nicole's return to the house? Everybody's trying to work with her already?
Well, she's talking to Donnie, and that's about all I've got. And Donnie's told her that everyone's plotting, and she says, well, who cares, because they're going to have to beat us.
Okay.
So Nicole and Donnie's going to work together maybe to take on the other side of the house. So hopefully they can win and stir up the house.
Wow, I didn't see that one coming.
I saw in the chat room, again, this is a little bit of hearsay that I'm reading this secondhand. In the chat room, I saw it was said that Derek said if anybody is caught in a closed door room with Donnie and Nicole, then they're the next one who's going home.
Well, that's typical of the strategy that he's employed over the past, well, since the Team America mission of, the patrol thing that he's done.
Yeah. Yeah. I really hope that Nicole or Donnie gets HOH this week just to see things get shaken up a little bit. I would like to see, Derek have to sweat a little bit and have to try to win a veto to save his butt. Again, he's played a great game, but I would like to see somebody really take a swing at him and then see how he is on his feet. Can Derek take a punch in this game and not just be the person who's calling the shots from wire to wire? I think it'd be fun to watch. So we'll see.
I think it's kind of interesting that Derek the cop is starting to run the house like Derek the mobster.
Yeah. He has a good, he's learned about what organized crime looks like, and he is sort of building up this empire in the house. It's very interesting. He's studied it. Okay, let's go from Spencer, who wants to say, do you think that Jocasta's parcel tongue chanting during the comp tonight, P.S., I missed Zack Attack already. Boy, they did not give us some flattering shots of Jocasta during the competition that she... Ian, did you catch any of these shots of Jocasta?
I really didn't see them. I was paying more attention to that spinning circle thing and just like trying to count the discs as they moved around.
You got hypnotized.
I didn't see them. Yeah, I was literally hypnotized by that spiral.
Brian, did you see any of the screenshots people have been taking of Jocasta during the competition?
I did see some of the screenshots. I was kind of worried that she might drop out of this competition as well, so I'm kind of happy that she made it through it without passing out.
Oh my goodness. Thank goodness Jocasta was able to compete tonight. And we were this close. Could you imagine we came back on and it's like, all right, Jocasta's back in the house. And you know what? And it would have been, what would have been the most frustrating thing out of it? It would have been, write it down, Jocasta and Victoria in the final four of the game. That's what would the worst part of all of it would have been.
To me, I think the worst part of it is that we have Nicole and Zach sitting on the sidelines, and we get Jocasta back. Like, that's the thing is, like, it's bad enough that we can't have both Zach and Nicole with Zach going, and to have gotten neither would have been a huge letdown to me.
Ian, full disclosure, I would have been okay with Hayden coming back in the house, too.
Okay, so would I, because then at least they'd have been separated.
Yeah. I think actually Hayden coming back into the game would have been the best case scenario for mixing things up. I think he has probably...
Yeah, I agree with that, but I certainly don't want him winning money that he can help move her with. So.
You know, you're worried about he's going to take the $500,000 and move her to Venice Beach or wherever he's a pedicab driver?
I mean, let's face it, Rob. I mean, that's their best chance is that if they can move to the same place. I mean, getting up and moving is expensive.
Yeah, but the cost of living, that $500,000 is going to go much further where she lives. She could be flying him in and out all the time.
What if he just moves, you know, to Michigan? You know, that's the thing.
Kaser, what do you think?
About Ian's love life?
Yes.
Ian, I think you have a pretty good shot, man. I mean, he comes from a town of 800. chances are, you know, so this is probably the first time she's seen a guy that is not related to her. And, you know, you seem like a charming dude. I think you should really work it. Oh, and you know, just buy her some flowers, buy her $500,000 worth of flowers.
Yeah. And no matter what, you did better than Hayden on Big Brother. You know, you've got that ace in the hole. Okay, there's no way.
That's at least true.
Yeah.
I will always have that.
Yeah.
I think a stuffed frog might be a good play.
Yeah. All right.
You're a nerd, right? So just kind of, why don't you flaunt that? She might like that.
Okay. Let's take another question or two with Ian and Kaser here on a Big Brother Thursday night. Dave wants to know, will there be any circumstance where it would benefit Derek to reveal his profession, even final two on finale night? Ian, if Derek is in the final two, would it make sense for him to reveal that I actually was a police officer and I played this game undercover the whole time and you guys didn't know? What do you think, Ian?
I mean, if it's anything like, I think Natalie in Big Brother 11, where she's like, I'm not 18, I'm like 24, however old she was, it just comes off as incredibly stupid and cheesy.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would be interesting at all.
Yeah. Kaser, what do you think?
Well, apparently telling people you're assembling a Disney show, it really works well with the crowd.
Yes.
Brother House, so maybe he can kind of spin it that way. I wouldn't go with the police officer thing. And I would definitely read the crowd before saying anything to everybody. I wouldn't say anything at all.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. I think I would say it after the votes were cast, because that he could, like, the guy's pretty much on the path to winning 9-0. I would not say anything to sort of change how people are feeling about you.
Right, right. Just hope that people respect your gameplay by the time you get to the end. He's not. I think the person who's digging the biggest hole for himself is Frankie. He's pissing off a lot of people. He's going to continue to do so, from what I can see, and that's not going to bode well for his game at the end. And so, Derek doing a good job of keeping his hands clean.
Okay. All right, let's do one more question here tonight on a Big Brother Thursday. M. Hank 232, it seemed like Julie was trying to get Christine to admit that she threw the Battle of the Block competition. What do you guys think? All right. Well, Julie Chen had some odd questions/statements tonight. She asked Christine about why she had so much difficulty in a challenge that she threw. Ian, is that just Julie, you know, just being out there by asking Christine about why she had difficulty in a challenge that she was clearly throwing in the show in front of everybody? Or was Julie digging to have Christine say, you know what, Julie, I was throwing that competition and that's why I had so much difficulty?
I think she was trying to make it legitimately uncomfortable for Christine.
Why? Why would she do that? Why? I mean, I don't want to go on Big Brother and I'm throwing competitions and then Julie Chen's going to be calling me out on the show.
Because it's a very subtle way of doing that in which they, you know, they can cover their ass really quickly and really easily. So, okay. Yeah.
Kaser, is that what you thought was going on? It just seemed to me like it was Julie was not really on top of the ball with that.
That could be a possibility, but I think this is the new and improved edgy Big Brother, Rob.
Dope.
They're pulling out all the stops. So Julie's going to do Ice Bucket Challenge on national television. Then that's what's going to happen. And if she's going to call out Christine in a very subtle way, then that's what's going to happen.
Okay, so then we saw later on in the show where Zach leaves the house and everybody's like, all right, Zach, see you in 10 minutes. See you in 10 minutes, Zach. We'll see you in a couple of minutes. And then Julie, after she interviews with Zach, she's like, okay, when we come back, we'll tell the house guests that somebody's coming in the house and they have no idea. And so stay tuned. Stay tuned for that. How do they not cut that line from the teleprompter after everybody's like, Zach, we'll see you in 10 minutes. When you see Ian, is that just, am I talking crazy?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's Big Brother. What'd you think of the appearance of the great Will Arnett, Ian, from your favorite show, The Millers, appearing on the show to do the Ice Bucket Challenge with Julie Chen?
I mean, I thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah. Will Arnett, he's all over CBS. He's doing skits on Survivor Finale. He's doing coming out for Big Brother. So he is Mr. Reality TV right now, Will Arnett.
They're rotting him out of the show right now.
No, how dare you? How dare you? The Millers, it comes back and is going to be on after the Big Bang Theory again this fall on CBS with Sean Hayes, Ian.
I don't know. I don't really watch television.
You don't support Cochran?
I mean, I don't know. I've seen an episode. It was a pretty good show.
Okay. All right. So, Kaser, give me the percentages Derek wins the game.
I'm going to put it at 60%.
60%. Ian, are you buying or selling Derek at 60%?
I was going to say 55, so pretty close.
Wow, okay. I was going to say higher. Brian, where are you? Higher or lower, 60% of Derek winning Big Brother?
Eight people left. That's the thing.
I'm going 45 just because I have this sense, and I've had it for a while, that at some point all of this is going to blow up in Derek's face. I mean, it's like right on the edge. Either he goes all the way or it all unravels for him.
Okay. And Ian, are you bummed out that you didn't have Kathy Griffin come into the house with the Zingbot?
Yes, I am. I don't even know. How long has she watched the show?
I think since the beginning. Kathy Griffin, according to my limited knowledge, I believe she's always been a big reality TV fan. I know that she
loved The Mole.
Yes, she loved The Mole. She was on The Celebrity Mole. She hosted Battle of the Network Reality Stars. When that was a thing on Bravo, and she like knew who all of the reality TV stars are. So I think all the way back to the beginning, Kathy Griffin's always been a big reality TV fan. So I don't know if they reached out to her or she reached out to them, but it was a very funny thing the other night. People are very excited about tonight. This is from Ryan. Says, please let Kaser know that he is underrated and beloved by the fans, and we would love to see him play again. So people have been very excited to see you back here on the show tonight, Kaser.
Thank you. I appreciate all the love. I'm actually astonished. People still sending out the love my way, and yeah, I'll take it. That's awesome.
Okay. So, Kaser, where can people follow more about what you're doing? Do a Zach tonight. Give us your Twitter handle.
Okay. It's just my first name, last name, Kaysar, last name, Ridha. I'm actually a lot more active now these days on Twitter, so that's where you guys can find me.
And of course,
keep up to date with what I'm doing. I'm a lot more active now.
Okay. And of course, you can find Ian Terry on Twitter. He's at Tulane Terry. There you go.
Yep, of course.
Okay. So we are going to be back on Sunday night after Big Brother on Sunday. We'll find out about the HOH, and we'll get to also talk about everything that happens with the nominations on Sunday night. And we will be with Shelley Moore. And if it's anything like Shelley's two appearances over the last two summers on Big Brother, it is definitely going to be a good one. And I'm pretty sure she's worked up. So it's going to be a very, very fun night on Sunday night as well. And then, of course, we've got one of our Survivor off-season podcasts coming up. I'm going to be talking about the history of twists on Survivor. That's going to be up on Friday. Then later on tonight, right after this, I am going to be talking with Kurt Clark on our wrap-up of Ian Terry's favorite show, The Quest. And Ian, we're going to be talking to Zach Storch from King of the Nerds too. Do you know who that is?
I mean, I don't watch TV besides Big Brother, Survivor, and like Jeopardy, really. So I really have no idea.
No, well, Zach is the best from King of the Nerds. So we're going to hear what he has to say about the Quest. So very, very fun stuff. Make sure you don't miss any of it. Subscribe to Rob It's a Podcast, robitsawebsite.com/iTunes. 1 week from tonight, of course, we'll be at the Ontario Improv with Brendan and Rachel. Get your tickets at robitsawebsite.com/Brenchel2. And then, of course, we'd love to hear your feedback and comments both on robitsawebsite.com and on our YouTube video. So looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say. Very fun show tonight, gentlemen. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre. And we will be back with more Big Brother wrap-ups on Sunday night after Big Brother. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye.